Hello, and welcome to my podcast. My name is Rachel Larson, and today I'm going to be talking about the paca. The spotted or lowland paca, Cuniculus paca, is a relatively large rodent native to the dense tropical forests of Central and South America. The paca is a species that has fascinated myself and classmates of mine from a study abroad course in Belize, where we saw the paca both in the wild and in captivity.
When I think of the gibnut, I think that it looks exactly how it is named. Like, I look at that, that is a gibnut. That it can only be a gibnut. It's also very delicious.
To paint a picture for you, a paca is about the size of a small to medium-sized dog and has the typical rodent elongate head, which is particularly flat across the rostrum, and has a round bum with strong hind legs. The species has a single coat of dense fur, and it's absolutely beautiful. It has a unique brown coat with white spots along the sides that is reminiscent of young ungulate species we have here in Montana. Similarly, the spots likely serve as camouflage. The paca inhabits tropical lowland forests, which are densely vegetated. The species is almost entirely nocturnal and does not migrate. Its range primarily revolves around bodies of water such as rivers, streams, and swamps, expanding or shrinking depending on seasonal water availability. Cuniculus paca is primarily terrestrial, though it can be semi-aquatic with ambulatory locomotion. It particularly utilizes walking motions with feet on ground more than 50% of the time, and runs in short bursts or sprints to escape predation. Though the paca is fast, it's also a mildly uncoordinated runner and a strong swimmer, because it uses bodies of water or cavities in the forest to escape predation. That single coat of dense fur aids in repelling water to maintain temperature when wet, and they can hold their breath underwater for short periods of time. Given these factors, I would assume that their physiology includes large lungs, enlarged blood vessels, and nasal passageways to maintain oxygen levels, which aligns with that kind of long rostrum. The paca are almost entirely nocturnal, which may contribute to their population success without other movement strategies. The frugivory diet of the paca likely includes plants with varying levels of toxicity, which may be dealt with through learned avoidance, specialized gut bacteria, or detoxifying enzymes. Paca possess highly specialized visual systems adapted for their nocturnal lifestyle with dark, round eyes that provide excellent vision in low-light conditions, which allow them to navigate effectively through the dense tropical forests during their active nighttime foraging periods. Pacas rely heavily on auditory signals, which include grunts, snorts, and mechanical tooth chattering, which function in social contact, alarm, and as a sign of aggression. Vocalizations are used for interspecific communication during nocturnal foraging, where there's overlap in home ranges, and for interspecific communication during a disturbance. Okay, that was a kind of dense overview of a lot of information about the paca. So before we continue on, I want you to try to imagine something. Picture you are walking through a thick, green, and humid tropical forest at night, and as you round a corner, you spook a paca. You may witness a sudden burst of speed from a speckled creature and hear the snorting crash of understory as it runs away and returns to a nearby burrow. Almost that exact experience is why my classmates and myself have become sort of obsessed with this species. So, before I play for you some real communication of the paca, I present to you one of my classmates' interpretation of it.
I love the gibnut because this is what the gibnut sounds like.
Okay, thank you for humoring that. Here is some audio from Wild Ambience of two or three adult pacas interacting during foraging at night. This is likely a mated pair hearing another individual encroaching on their territory, which is why towards the end of the audio, we start to hear more aggravated barking sounds from one of the individuals. Territoriality is important to this species. Paca are generally considered solitary, but recent spatial telemetry studies have shown that it's better described as solitary tolerant or moderately social. The species survives primarily as solo individuals, despite these temporary shifts in behavior, as a response to threats where they may bunch up during foraging. It is because of this solitary lifestyle that paca may be susceptible to an increased risk of predation, decreased food availability, and decreased parental care for young. Species interactions are primarily limited to mating, and the mating system of the paca is widely regarded as monogamous, which is interestingly established and supported by male individuals reinforcing the pair bond by urinating on the female through a type of chemical communication. Reproduction is associated primarily with the wet season, and this strategy may aid in limiting pressure from predation by timing high-energy investments such as lactation with fruiting seasons. Individuals reach sexual maturity quickly and reproduce quite readily, typically giving birth to 1 to 2 offspring per litter, with 1 to 2 litters per year. Gestation is approximately 118 days, and lactation continues for 6 to 12 weeks, with some maternal care extending up to 6 months beyond that. Unfortunately, hunting efforts have aligned over time with the wet season, interrupting reproduction cycles. Cuniculus paca is listed on the IUCN Red List with the status of least concern, meaning it's widespread and abundant globally, yet faces threats from hunting for meat and habitat loss and habitat fragmentation. Hunting represents a significant threat to the population, as farmers and local families hunt them due to crop damage or just for the value of the meat and as a significant source of protein. Studies in the Amazon have documented unsustainable hunting levels, with catch per unit effort declining significantly in some communities. While population density estimates vary dramatically, there are some areas with over 90 individuals per square kilometer and others with as low as 6 individuals per square kilometer in areas with hunting pressures. Currently, researchers are working on initiating sustainable hunting regulations and habitat protection programs to address over-harvesting pressures. These efforts include implementing zoning systems for hunting areas, educating hunters to target males rather than pregnant females, and establishing sustainable catch quotas based on population monitoring. Additionally, commercial farming of pacas has been initiated in some areas, and research is currently ongoing for breeding efforts and human engagement with the farming. The effectiveness of these strategies varies by region. In areas where hunting regulations have been enforced and habitat protection maintained, paca populations have shown resilience, with densities reaching over 80 individuals per kilometer. However, in communities with inadequate regulation enforcement, it is challenging to balance the value of paca meat with subsistence needs. This, paired with relatively slow reproduction rate of the pacas, makes populations more vulnerable to continued overharvesting. In Belize specifically, the Central Belize Corridor has seen populations reach sustainable levels through seasonal limitations and catch quotas. Unfortunately for today, I have just run out of time talking about the paca. Thank you for listening, and I hope to get back to you soon with more information about this really cool species. For now, and at the risk of being really corny, I think it's safe to say that we love the gibnut.
I love the paca. Best rodent in the world.